Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
As Dak Prescott would say, here we go, hour number two of the Rob Brown Show is live from Charlotte, North Carolina, the site of this year's ACC football kickoff, a.k.a. Media Days. We are live. We will be live all the way up through Thursday. It is wonderful to have you with us this fine Monday morning, ladies and gentlemen. I am Rob Brown, your ever so humble yet frequently correct host, back in the palatial Fan Upstate Studios. The home of the Fan Upstate is the Alpha and the Omega of the Fan Upstate. The Wizard of Wave, the Professor of Perfection, the Sultan of Sound, the Content Cash Cow, the great one Lonzo is here as well. And great one, I have to tell you, you asked during the break. Our security curtain checker is MIA, and I got to tell you, I am now worried that there may be multiple James Bond caliber bad guys hiding behind various curtains around this media pit. I'm very nervous now. I don't know where he went.
You should be all right because you have cat-like reflexes, and you'll be able to. There you go. There it is.
I will karate chop somebody immediately.
Plus, you're pretty lonely where you are right now, so you're probably going to catch it.
It's me. There's me and two other dudes in this entire ballroom right now. Like, the best thing is, like 10 minutes ago, a horde of pilots and flight attendants came down the stairs, obviously headed over to the Charlotte airport to jump on their airplanes and make flights around the country, and they're the only people I've seen. I've seen one security guard, one lady working the front desk, two other radio hosts, and that's it in this big-ass hotel that I'm currently sitting in the middle of right now.
Yeah, but you just did the weather thing where they're talking about how bad the weather is, and then two people just walk past you.
Yeah,
I'm just saying.
Fair enough. You were
doing that.
You ever see, my favorite one ever of those is there's a lady who's like, she's like walking, or she's canoeing down a street. She's like, the floodwaters have been rising here in Whateverville, USA. She's like canoeing down the street, and she's like, the waters are rising faster than people. And as she's canoeing down the middle of the road, two guys just walk right past her, like next to her canoe. It's the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life. If that didn't end that lady's career, she is golden in TV for forever.
I'm sure she was just doing what she's told, you know?
Yeah.
But still.
Yeah, that's not great. So, here's what we got going on for you. We are, again, live at ACC Football Kickoff, a.k.a. ACC Media Days. We will be covering this event for the next few days. I will be here today and tomorrow. I will not be here Wednesday. We are off on Wednesday, and then Zoe and I will be back on Thursday. Thursday is Clemson Day, but to kind of update you on how this whole thing is going to work, the schedule for today is this. Everything kicks off at 10, but it's just kind of open coverage starting at 10. At noon, we will have our interviews with the three schools featured today. They are Florida State, Georgia Tech, and SMU. At 1 o'clock is the Commissioner's Forum. That is when we will have the ACC Commissioner give his speech on the state of the conference as a whole. That is when Jim Phillips will talk about, I'm assuming, the lawsuits of Clemson and Florida State. By the way, coming up at 8:40, John Blau of the Post and Courier will join us. We will get any updates regarding the lawsuits that we can from him as he's been dialed in. We'll talk to him a little bit about the media open house that Clemson hosted last Tuesday and get his thoughts on the comments of Dabo Swinney as well. Coming up in this hour, I am going to defend Dabo Swinney from some criticism that he has been taking, I think, unjustifiably from the national media. So stay tuned for that. We'll talk to John Blau at 8:40. But I assume that Jim Phillips in the commissioner's forum, which starts at 1 p.m., will talk at length about those lawsuits, the updates of the lawsuits, et cetera, et cetera. I will tell you that I am going to attempt, I cannot promise that I will, but I am going to attempt to go live for the commissioner's forum on our Facebook and Instagram pages. So make sure, again, you are following the Fan Upstate on Facebook, the Fan Upstate on Twitter, the Fan Upstate on Instagram, the Rob Brown Show on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and on Twitch. I will do my best to go live for those events. But that is at 1 o'clock until 2 o'clock. That is really all that is scheduled today. We will have those interviews anywhere from noon to 5. I will get the recordings of those interviews. We'll run those back for you tomorrow. Tomorrow's schools, Cal Pitt, Stanford, Virginia, and Virginia Tech. Those interviews, again, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. The state of the coaches' unions will take place throughout the day. I will also tell you that the interesting thing that I am very much looking forward to Lonzo, is tomorrow from 5 until 5:30 is the football technology forum that will be taking place here at ACC Media Days. I don't know what that is. I don't know what it's about. I don't know if it's going to be about tech they're using in the game, if it's tech rules that are going into play. For instance, this year, ACC schools will be allowed to use iPad tablets in both the press box and on the sideline. Obviously, we're going to have conversation further about potential addition of helmet communications for players down the line, if this is going to be about tech in the broadcast or what. And I don't care, because the giant science nerd inside of me is like, yeah, I gotta find out what that's all about. So that's going to be really interesting, and we will have that covered for you. We will be off on Wednesday, as mentioned. Boston College, Duke, Louisville, Miami, Wake Forest on Wednesday. We will still have sound, as we will have some folks that are going to be here covering that event. Cole Bryson and Diesel, I know, are coming early on Wednesday in order to get a little bit of extra coverage before they go live at 3 p.m. for Wire to Wire. And then on Wednesday, we will be live. On Thursday, that is Clemson Day. So Clemson, North Carolina, NC State, and Syracuse. We will get interviews. I have confirmed interviews with Dabo Swinney, Cade Klubnik on Thursday. We will record. I will record those interviews on Thursday. Those interviews will be played in their entirety on Wire to Wire with Cole Bryson and Diesel that afternoon. They will be back in the studio on Thursday. And then I am off on Friday. So when we return on Monday, we will recap those interviews for you at that point. So that's where we are. That's where we stand with everything going on over the next couple of days. We hope that you will join us for these events as we are broadcasting live all the way through the week. But now, it is 7:07 in the morning. You've got just a little bit over 52 minutes until you got to clock in and lock in at the office. You're going to take that first break around, I don't know, what sounds good, 8:15 a.m. You're going to walk down the hallway. You're going to go grab you're going to go grab David. David. You know David. David works over in janitorial services. And let's be real, David's a great guy. All right? You know, every day when you come to the office, Davis has done a stellar job of making sure you are set up, you are ready to roll. That place is clean, spick, span, tidy. You're going to go grab David. You're going to go, David, I like you, buddy. Let's go talk some sports. You and David are going to walk down the hallway. You're going to go to the water cooler. You're going to set up shop. You're going to talk sports. And if you and David are going to talk sports at work today, you got to know what's going on in the world, right? If you need to know what's going on in the world, you need this. You know, I'm glad you played that clip. Great one. Because I'm going to be real with y'all right now. Ain't a lot going on in the world of sports.
Well,
right?
He could be there. I mean, you know, running around. I mean, if camp is going on, which it is.
It is. You're not wrong.
He could just be strolling by and just see you in there and just walk in and start having the conversation. It could happen.
Maybe. But I'm glad you played that clip, and here's why I'm glad you played that clip. And you and I had this conversation last week on Friday before we left the office. I read an article about our boy XL on Friday. And that article said that his last name is actually pronounced Leggett. His last name is pronounced Xavier Leggett. Now, I'm going to be straight up with you. I've only ever heard it pronounced Leggett. Xavier Leggett. I've only ever heard it pronounced Xavier Leggett. But I read an article on a big, like, this wasn't like a local South Carolina blog. But I read on like a national outlet the other day, and I might be making a fool out of myself right now. But Lonzo, have you ever heard him called anything but Xavier Leggett? Because this publication said it's actually pronounced Xavier Leggett.
Until I actually talk to the person, I don't really believe anybody's pronunciation. I mean, we had that problem with DJ for a long time.
DJ?
And I was chastised for saying it wrong, and I was closer than Detroit guy was. So,
Detroit,
I mean, you know.
Detroit guy. Hey, let's get to item number one on the water cooler cheat sheet. The story could be, should be, the fact that the Atlanta Braves lost 6-2 to the St. Louis Cardinals yesterday. The story could be that the Atlanta Braves dropped 2 out of 3 against the St. Louis Cardinals to get the second half of the season started. The story could be that the Philadelphia Phillies are doing everything in their power to open the door for the Atlanta Braves to find their way back into contention in the National League East Division. The story could be any of those things, but that's not the story is that despite the fact that the Philadelphia Phillies are doing everything that they can do to open the door for the Atlanta Braves to compete in the National League's Eastern Division, the Braves can't, they won't, they refuse to. Philly has dropped 2 out of their 3 to open the second half. Well, guess what? So did the Atlanta Braves. And in dropping 2 out of 3 to the St. Louis Cardinals, they have remained 8.5 games back of the Phillies. That's not the story. The story is that the Braves can't stay healthy. Two big injuries coming from the weekend. Number one, Max Fried has been sent to the short-term IL with what was described as a forearm issue. Now, I don't know, we don't know, they don't know, or at least they have not said what that forearm issue is. We don't know if it's an injury, a strain, a pull, whatever. But something happened to my guy's throwing forearm that has now pushed him onto the short-term IL. Remember, Max Fried was supposed to be the guy. When Spencer Strider went down, Max Fried was supposed to be the guy that stepped in, became a dude, and was going to carry this pitching staff until the playoffs, basically, because, hey, Spencer Strider ain't coming back this year. Well, instead, that has been Chris Sale, and that has been Reynaldo Lopez that have carried this team, but you just kind of kept waiting for Max Fried to round back into form and become a dude again. Now he's going on the short-term IL and do not know, A, when he will be back, and B, what shape he will be in when he comes back. But wait, as Billy Mays might say, there's more. Ozzie Albies is headed to the injured list as well. In the 9th inning, left the game with a left wrist injury. After the news conference, the team announced on social media that the veteran underwent x-rays that revealed a fracture in Ozzie Albies' wrist. He is expected to miss roughly 8 weeks. The infielder trying to field a throw at second on a stolen base attempt and bent his glove hand back when he collided with Michael Cianne from the Cardinals, the 3-time All-Star, hitting .255 with 8 home runs and 46 ribbies this season, batting almost exclusively from the number 2 spot in the order. His injury came hours after the announcement that Max Fried was going on the 15-day IL. It was reported, and this is, if there's any optimism to be found, the optimism. The Braves are finally calling up top 100 prospect Lonzo Nacho Alvarez Jr.
Nacho!
Coming up to Atlanta to step into the position vacated by Ozzie Albies, and Braves fans have been excited about Nacho for a hot minute here, and it looks like they are going to get the opportunity to see the young man when the Bravos take to the field coming up in their next home game. That is going to be this evening at 7:20 p.m. when Eli De La Cruz, Hunter Green, and the Cincinnati Reds come to town. Reynaldo Lopez on the bump this evening. We will see if Nacho is in the lineup for Atlanta to make his rookie debut. Let's hustle to item number two. We went racing yesterday in NASCAR, the Brickyard 400 running at Indianapolis Motor Speedway. And in his return to the fast car of NASCAR, Kyle Larson finished one of the most memorable races of his career with one of the sport's most revered celebrations. He got to go down on hands and knees and kiss the bricks. The 31-year-old Californian overcame an early unscheduled pit stop by charging from 12th in the field to lead over the final 32 laps. We did have a green-white multi-playoff, multi-stop, multi-start finish to this race that ended with a caution after the green-white, meaning that the next flag ended the race. The caution came out as Larson was just ahead of Ryan Blaney's second-place car. Larson was able to leapfrog Blaney a little earlier in the race and then stay out front when the overtime flag dropped. Kyle Larson gets the win at the Brickyard. We'll talk a little more NASCAR in the race. And finally, item number three. Xander Schauffele becomes just the sixth golfer in the history of the PGA Tour to win both the PGA Championship and the Open Championship in the same year. Schauffele fired off a bogey-free fourth and final round to jump out ahead of Billy Horschel and Justin Rose on Sunday and claim the crown. The last time that a golfer pulled off a PGA Championship and Open Championship in the same year, 2014, when Rory McIlroy did it. The only other golfers to do it, Patty Harrington in 08, Tiger Woods in 06 and 2000, Nick Price in 94, and Walter Hagen all the way back in 1924. Xander Schauffele described Sunday's bogey-free round as, quote, the best round I've ever played, end quote. Schauffele is the first golfer since 1934 to have multiple final rounds of 65 or better in majors in the same year. It is the seventh consecutive major one by an American golfer, the longest streak since 1974 to 77 when Americans captured 13 straight. It is the first year since 1982 that U.S. golfers claimed all four majors. Xander Schauffele, of course, with the Open of the PGA. Scottie Scheffler won the Masters. And Bryson DeChambeau captured the U.S. Open. And now, next up for Xander Schauffele, he heads to Paris to represent Team USA in the Olympics just days away. Days away? Lonzo, day away. The Olympics are tomorrow. How did I forget that? I'm a bad sports radio host. I'm not. I'm actually very good, which is why when we come back in the next segment, let's talk a little ACC football. Let's talk a little bit about the teams that are represented here and what we expect to see out of this conference. That's coming up next. The great one, Lonzo, in studio. I am Rob Brown in Charlotte, North Carolina at ACC Media Days. This is the Fan Upstate. Is the award-winning Rob Brown Show right here on the Fan Upstate. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Stellar, as always, to have you with us here on the show. Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo, with you this morning as we are live from ACC Media Days in Charlotte, North Carolina. We are covering the conference, and I would like to go back very briefly to a conversation that we started at the beginning of the show. And it is something that is, it's very interesting to me, it's very compelling to me, and part of the reason why, obviously, is that we cover a lot of ACC football here on the station, and we cover a lot of ACC football here on the station because, well, the Clemson Tigers, as of today, are still in the Atlantic Coast Conference. So, part of the reason I am interested in this is because as I am here at ACC Media Days, I have noticed something that jumped out to me as soon as I got here. Number one, we have had a change in venue. Okay, now, that's not the end of the world. It makes a lot of sense. I've been involved in events like this for as long as I have been talking into a microphone for money. events change places for a lot of reasons. It changes place, events change venues because sometimes it costs less, sometimes the event grows or it shrinks into or out of its current setting. Sometimes a smaller venue or a larger venue makes sense. Sometimes a venue may add in some benefits or some you know, little incentives for moving. There's a million reasons why we may be at a new venue. I'm going to be a buck with you. I don't know why we're in a new venue. I just know that we are. So when I arrived this morning at the new venue, here's what I will tell you. And I want to preface this with, I very much appreciate the efforts of the Atlantic Coast Conference to put this event on. I think it is a fantastic event. I think it is an event that is wildly beneficial to the ACC. I think it is an event that is wildly beneficial to the schools that play under that banner. I think it is wildly beneficial to the media. I think it is wildly beneficial to fans. Okay? It's a fantastic event. It is noticeably smaller than it has been the last 3 years that I have been coming to Charlotte to cover this event. At the last venue that we were at, it was a much bigger venue that we were at. It was a much different setup in terms of the media pit that we were in. When you pulled up to the old spot, there was a huge lobby you walked through to get to the big lobby where the media pit was. And there was stuff everywhere. Last year, in fact, I posted a video at one point. Last year when you arrived at this event, you walked through the big lobby, and to get upstairs to the media pit, you popped onto an escalator that took you up. And when you got to the top of that escalator, Lonzo, there was the ACC Conference Championship trophy flanked by the Orange Bowl trophy. And I don't remember the third, but they had three trophies. There was the conference tournament trophy, the Orange Bowl trophy, and another one. And then there was this huge backdrop display behind it that had the helmets of all the schools and pictures of players throughout the years from all of the ACC conference members. When you came up that escalator and you got to the top of it, dude, it felt like a big deal, right? Like, it felt like a massive event. This morning, I arrived to the new venue. And it's not really like that, right? And again, I'm not attempting to be disrespectful to the conference because it's a wonderful event. I am very appreciative of the efforts, and I'm very appreciative to be allowed to be here and broadcast from here. But it does not have the same big-time feel. It does not have the same big-time vibe. It does not have the same big-time aura around it, I believe is what the kids are saying now. When I got here, the lobby you walk into, it's just a hotel lobby. And, like, there are some ACC signs hanging on the wall, but they're, like, they kind of feel respectfully like the same kind of posters that I would hang in the bro cave at the house, just like, yeah, that's an event that I was at, right? Like, not anything that blows you out of the door. And then I came upstairs in an elevator into the second floor, which is where the media pit is. And the media pit is surrounded by, those feather flags that you see out of, like, car dealerships and stuff? The media pit is surrounded by those flags of all the teams in the ACC, including SMU, including Cal, including...
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Stanford and two ACC banners, but I'm also going to tell you, the media pit is, Zoe, half the size it was last year. Half the size it was the last 2 years that I've been at this event.
All right. You have shown video, and if you haven't, you should check out stream. Are you sure? Because to me, it looks, because when in the old venue, you're upstairs and you're like spread around where the escalator was. And so this being condensed, maybe it's not as small as you think.
I will tell you that. So at the old venue, there were three segments to the media pit. There was the big main one that was up by the ACC Net television set. And then there were the two rows of tables that went on either side of the escalator all the way to the back of the ballroom. The front pit at the old ACC Media Days, these tables, you could not walk between them. They were butted up against each other. Like, I could lean over and high five. I could reach over and handshake the people that were broadcasting at the tables next to me. There's 4 feet of room between me and the next table. They are spread out more than they were in the past. The second part is what I would tell you is at best.
Not a bad thing, because radio people sometimes are a little bit sturdy.
So. Oh, for sure. For sure. Don't get me wrong. I'm much more comfortable in terms of my personal bubble than I have been at years gone by. But the second thing I will say is, at best, the best I can give it is that the media pit this year that we are in is the same size as, like, the front section of last year's, not including the two additional, actually, I should say four additional rows of probably 12 tables to each row that extended on either side of the elevator, escalator at the old venue. That's not here. This media day, like I said, it's probably, and again, it's early. I'm one of the first. There are now three people doing shows here right now. Three. There are three people in Media Pit right now. I am one of the, scratch that, I was the first person in the building this morning. I got here at 4 o'clock this morning to make sure all our equipment was set up and connected and all that. I was the first person in the building. I was the only person here up until about 5:45 when one of the other guys showed up and set up his stuff to do his show at 6. This Media Pit is smaller than the last 2 years. However, there's also a working media room upstairs. And this is why I'm going to say, I might be wrong about this, okay? There's a media room upstairs. The media room upstairs is for newspapers, magazines, print working, basically. I don't know how many people are going to be in that room. I will go check it out at 10 a.m. when we get off the air before the commish's conference this afternoon. But it does not have, and again, it is 7:30 in the morning for an event that doesn't start till 10. So I may come back on tomorrow morning and goes, guys, I was totally wrong. It's a wonder. It's everything's great. Everything's spectacular. It's as big. There's as much energy right now as there ever has been before. But what I can tell you right now is it doesn't feel that way, right? And I do kind of wonder about the reasons why. And I have two of them. Reason number one is the fact that the ACC has got to be saving money right now, right? And they've got to be saving money for two reasons. The first is the next reason, is reason number two. I'm going to come to that in a minute. But the second reason is, I think they have to be putting as much money into the bank as they can, because they've got to do everything they can to pay out schools as much as they can at the end of the conference fiscal year. They are watching the Southeastern Conference lap them in terms of school payouts at the end of the financial year. They are watching the Big Ten lap them in terms of financial payout at the end of the year. And most importantly, I think, Lonzo, they're watching the Big 12 lap them in terms of amount of money that they will have to pay out at the end of the financial year. As it stands right now, part of the reason that I think that Clemson and Florida State are so willing to fight multiple lawsuits on multiple fronts to get out of this conference is because of the fact that they can go to any of the other three conferences and not just make more money, make dramatically more money, right? Like, you know you're getting paid within 4 or 5 years. You know that you are getting paid twice as much money if you go to the Big Ten, twice as much money if you go to the SEC. And while I understand the stories floated around last week that the Big Ten and the SEC don't want to invite specifically Florida State, but don't want to invite Clemson or FSU, the Big Ten because they're not AAU accredited, the SEC because they're already saturated, I don't believe those things. okay? I don't believe him. I've given my reason. I'll give it again coming up in a minute in the next segment. But I think knowing that the Big 12 is going to be able to pay more money than the ACC means the ACC has got to be saving up money. And I don't wonder if this event feeling, and again, I'll check it out a little bit more in depth when it starts at 10 a.m., I wonder if this event hasn't been scaled back a little bit to put some money in the bank. I'll talk about reason number two when we come back. Rob Lonzo and you, the Rob Brown Show, live from ACC football kickoff in Charlotte, North Carolina. This is the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. Robin the Great One, Lonzo with you. I am live in Uptown Charlotte, North Carolina, live at ACC Football Kickoff, a.k.a. ACC Media Days, getting underway here in just about 2 hours and 20 minutes from now. The event will officially begin. We will hear today alongside Florida State, Georgia Tech, and SMU, the three schools elected to kick off this event. We will also hear later today from Commissioner Jim Phillips. Jim Phillips will give a State of the Conference speech this afternoon at 1 p.m. I will try to go live and carry that event for us across the Fan Upstate's social media pages. So make sure you're following us on social media for that. And then, of course, tomorrow on the show, we will have whatever the biggest pieces of information we get from Jim Phillips. We will play some sound bites for you on tomorrow's edition of the radio broadcast. We were having a conversation a minute ago. And again, I will once again preface this conversation this way. I appreciate the efforts of the ACC. I appreciate them putting this event on. I appreciate them allowing not just me, but the media as a whole to be here. I appreciate them. They have provided us with the broadcast venue. They have provided us with the table and the setup and the internet. They have provided us with the venue. They have provided us with food all 4 days. They have done an incredible job, as they have the 3 years that I have covered this event, putting it on. That being said, I do have some thoughts. I do have some questions that I am interested in as we go through this event. Now, let me begin by saying that it is 7:41 in the morning. It is very early in the morning. Let me say that I was the first one here. There are, as of right now, three people that are currently broadcasting at this event. All right, there'll be more joining throughout the day. The majority of folks are going to show up and start doing their late morning, afternoon, drive time, PM shows a little bit later in the day. But as of right now, I am one of three people that are broadcasting. So I will preface this conversation with all of that and now get into the conversation. This event feels scaled down. Still a wonderful event, still spectacular, still set up well, still organized, still efficient as it always has been, and still very much appreciated them having us here. But it feels scaled down, all right? It's in a smaller venue. I have said a number of times, million reasons why there might be a venue change. Other place may have had a bigger event come in and say, we want to get booked here. May have been an effort to avoid being downtown. I know that there are two major events happening. In fact, I think tomorrow former President Trump is in town for a rally. I think there's another political rally downtown as well. May have just wanted to avoid the downtown area because of the multiple major events that are taking place there. Any number of reasons that this event may be here this year. But it is a smaller venue. Number two, Radio Row is smaller. That may be, as I have thought, I've been thinking about this since the whole thing set up. Lonzo, that might just be because there's less room here, right? There's just less availability. And I will say, as I look around the room, What I am noticing is that this year, unlike the last 2 years, there's not really any podcasters set up. And that's not, I'm a big podcast guy. That's not me pooping on podcasters. I'm not going to do that. I love a good podcast. But I'm looking around and it's all radio stations that are down here, right? Like last year, there were a lot of the ACC champion show or whatever. There's a lot of like podcast and YouTube exclusives. I don't see that right now. Everything I see set up around here is radio stations. Now, again, there is another media room that is set up for print media. It is a media workroom, right? So it's you don't broadcast in there. You plug your computer in and you type. But down here in the radio pit, I'm looking really, I don't actually, now that I'm looking, I don't see any. I see a couple of like radio specific shows, but I don't really see any podcast. So it may be that this year they were like, smaller venue, less room, we're going to get rid of the podcasting element and it's just going to be credentialed radio stations. But even still, it is a scale back event. And I have given a couple of theories on this. The first is, the ACC's got to, actually, the one theory is the ACC's got to save money. I have two reasons for that. The first I gave in the last segment. The first I gave is, you're being dramatically outpaced by the SEC and the Big Ten. That's obvious. You are now getting outpaced by the Big 12. The Big 12 is, Big 12 journalists are reporting that the payouts for the Big 12 are going to be bigger than the payouts for the ACC. So if you're the ACC and you want to grow that profit to the absolute maximum available, You want to stash every gold coin you can pick up into a bank so you can split that up amongst the schools. The second thing is the legal fees for these lawsuits are going to be big. All right? They're going to be big. And they're going to be bigger if Florida State and Clemson find a way to win them. And I don't know that this is the case, and we'll check in with John Blau coming up here in a little bit less than an hour, and we'll see if he's got any information on this. When lawsuits like these are either adjudicated, settled, or a ruling is handed down, very frequently the damaged party ends up being owed their legal fees from the damager. If Florida State and Clemson find a way to win these lawsuits, and remember, lawsuits, because they both have filed one in their respective counties, Leon County, Florida, home of Tallahassee, Pickens County, South Carolina, home of Clemson, and then the ACC countersued both of those schools in Mecklenburg County, where I am, Charlotte, North Carolina. If FSU and Clemson find a way to win these lawsuits, and they get, you know, if they end up finding a judge that just has got a change of heart and awards them their legal fees as part of the ruling and or settlement, the ACC is going to be down in the hole even further. And I just wonder, great one, how much, if any, those two financial obligations, one that is definite, one that is potential, I wonder if this scaled down event is a response to the financial burdens that are finding their way into the ACC as we enter an era where they might find themselves fighting for their existence like the Pac-2 is in the next year or two.
I don't want to downplay your theory I think it's scaled down because of venue. And since you mentioned the political things going on, it would be a nightmare for you to get in and out of there with all that stuff, especially with heightened security as it should be. But I can't recall if you were actually there. We haven't been on mornings for a year yet, have we?
Correct. Last year at this event, I was in the 9 to noon slot.
So the thing is, you haven't been there during the time when it should be bustling. So I'll be interested to hear your report tomorrow about how it picked up. Now, if it doesn't pick up, then for sure you're right. But
and I think I said last segment, and I apologize for cutting you off. I think I said last segment, and I'm going to stick with here, Zoe. I'll have a better idea around noon. right? Like, I'm going to hang out here until Cole Bryson and Diesel come on for Wire to Wire. I'll probably sit in for a segment or two with them at some point since I'll be here covering the whole event. I will have a better impression. By the time Wire to Wire rolls around, I think we'll have a better impression of everything. What I am gauging this off of right now is two things. Number one, the approach to the venue. Last year, bigger venue. They had the big ACC, like, three-dimensional block thing. I don't know how to describe it, but like a big three freestanding ACC statue, whatever, out front. And they had the flags and the banners and all. They had a whole lobby where they had mannequins wearing the uniforms and the helmets of all the teams in the conference. None of that's here. None of that's here. I came in the front of the hotel. None of that's here. So even, I don't know how to phrase it better than this, even the decorations have been scaled down this year. And even when I went up the stairs, and now I have not explored the whole back half of the upstairs where this event is taking place. But where I am in the pit, upstairs around the radio, or around the TV set area, it's not the same, man. It's not the same. And it maybe is because they were obligated to go to a smaller venue and there's just not the room for all that. And that's a possibility. I will have a better idea by 3 o'clock, but I will tell you, as somebody who has been here now for 3 hours and 49 minutes and the hotel is starting to pick up in terms of business, it ain't that busy. So there you go. I'm intrigued. I posit the theory that this conference knows that there's a storm ahead. That was really dramatic. I'm sorry that I was so dramatic. You know what? I'm going to roll with it. This conference knows there's a storm ahead, right? They know there's the lawsuits. The lawsuits are problematic. They know that Florida State and Clemson won out. They know if Florida State and Clemson find a way out, then everybody else who wants out too is just going to file the same lawsuit, go through the same process, get the same judgment, and the same result. That's North Carolina. That's Miami. There is some belief amongst some in this business that a large chunk of the North Carolina legislature, if North Carolina gets out, will say, if you catch an invite to a new conference, you can only go if you take NC State with you. There is some belief that they will do the same thing for Duke. That means those two schools will be out. And then if you are left in a spot where you have Boston College, Cal, Georgia Tech, Louisville, Pitt, SMU, Stanford, Syracuse, I think Virginia Tech would probably get an invite, and I think you may have Virginia tagging along as a travel partner with them. So the schools I just mentioned, Syracuse, Stanford, SMU, Pitt, Louisville, Georgia Tech, Cal, and Boston College. Lonzo, that's not a conference that's viable, is it?
Oh, absolutely not. I mean, the conference is barely that now. It's very top-heavy. It has been for a long time. For a while, it was only one team top-heavy. But Florida State come along last year, and now you've got them in the mix, and we have to see what Clemson is able to do this year because they haven't been at the top the last 2 years. So, if you take those teams out, why am I watching it? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it's not unfair. It's if Stanford returns, Stanford had a good couple of years a few years back, right? Like, if they can get back, SMU, like, a lot of people think SMU is real close to being a good football team again. Louisville with Jeff Brohm has been hit or miss, right? They've had a couple of really good quarterbacks come through there over the years. Maybe they get back, but unless all of those schools do it, and they all do it at the same time, they're going to have a problem. I mean, they already have a problem, and the problem is not only does he who has the gold make the rules, but on top of that, you got to have money to make money, right? There's the old joke, what's the best way to become a billionaire? Step one, be a millionaire, right? Like, it's something we make light of, but the best way to make money is to have money. And if you find yourself in a spot where you are watching the Big 12 pay the schools in that conference dramatically more money than you're able to pay the schools in the ACC, guess what happens? The schools in the Big 12 start pulling away, just like the schools in the SEC and the Big 10 are going to be pulling away from the schools in the Big 12 over the years. That's just the ugly reality of football. So, to circle all the way back around, I kind of asked the question here. This event, to me, feels scaled back. I'll be able to tell you for sure later in the afternoon. But if I'm right, and if it is it a result of a little bit of panic that the other conferences are going to create a gulf between them and this conference that's going to leave this conference floundering and fighting for existence, especially if they can't find a way to lock up FSU, Clemson, and Miami, the three schools that carry the banner, and then the basketball money of North Carolina, Duke, and NC State? We'll find out. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to run to a break. When we come back here in just a minute from right now, I am going to defend Dabo Swinney, because after last Tuesday's open house at Clemson, Dabo, for some reason, drew a lot of fire from the national audience. And despite the fact that when Dabo said what he said, I went, duh, of course, he's still getting beat up on. And I'm going to stand up for him a little bit here, and I'm going to do that when we come back. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the Dabo Swinney of Reading Sports Flash is Alonzo.
Yeah, you should laugh about that. The Atlanta Braves dropped 2 out of 3 games set against St. Louis to start the second half of the season. If I mess up, it means I'm Clemsoning. Game 3 saw rookie Spencer Schwellenbach take the loss, surrendering 7 hits, including 3 home runs in 6 innings, though he did strike out 8. Atlanta's offensive output combined for 9 hits, but the bigger news was the departure of Ozzy Albies with a fractured wrist. Xander Schauffele captured his second major championship of the year after a bogey-free fourth round 6-under-65 to outpace then-leader Billy Horschel. Schauffele ended with a 9-under-275, making him just the 7th golfer ever to win both the PGA Championship and Open Championship in the same year, and the first in the last decade. Hey, check out Wired to Wired this afternoon. They also will be live from ACC Media Days in Charlotte.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. Robin the Great One, Lonzo with you. I am live in Uptown Charlotte, North Carolina, live at ACC Football Kickoff, a.k.a. ACC Media Days, getting underway here in just about 2 hours and 20 minutes from now. The event will officially begin. We will hear today alongside Florida State, Georgia Tech, and SMU, the three schools elected to kick off this event. We will also hear later today from Commissioner Jim Phillips. Jim Phillips will give a State of the Conference speech this afternoon at 1 p.m. I will try to go live and carry that event for us across the Fan Upstate's social media pages. So make sure you're following us on social media for that. And then, of course, tomorrow on the show, we will have whatever the biggest pieces of information we get from Jim Phillips. We will play some sound bites for you on tomorrow's edition of the radio broadcast. We were having a conversation a minute ago. And again, I will once again preface this conversation this way. I appreciate the efforts of the ACC. I appreciate them putting this event on. I appreciate them allowing not just me, but the media as a whole to be here. I appreciate them. They have provided us with the broadcast venue. They have provided us with the table and the setup and the internet. They have provided us with the venue. They have provided us with food all 4 days. They have done an incredible job, as they have the 3 years that I have covered this event, putting it on. That being said, I do have some thoughts. I do have some questions that I am interested in as we go through this event. Now, let me begin by saying that it is 7:41 in the morning. It is very early in the morning. Let me say that I was the first one here. There are, as of right now, three people that are currently broadcasting at this event. All right, there'll be more joining throughout the day. The majority of folks are going to show up and start doing their late morning, afternoon, drive time, PM shows a little bit later in the day. But as of right now, I am one of three people that are broadcasting. So I will preface this conversation with all of that and now get into the conversation. This event feels scaled down, okay? Still a wonderful event, still spectacular, still set up well, still organized, still efficient as it always has been, and still very much appreciated them having us here. But it feels scaled down, all right? It's in a smaller venue. I have said a number of times, million reasons why there might be a venue change. Other place may have had a bigger event come in and say, we want to get booked here. May have been an effort to avoid being downtown. I know that there are two major events happening. In fact, I think tomorrow former President Trump is in town for a rally. I think there is another political rally downtown as well. May have just wanted to avoid the downtown area because of the multiple major events that are taking place there. Any number of reasons that this event may be here this year. But it is a smaller venue. Number two, Radio Row is smaller. That may be, as I have thought, I've been thinking about this since the whole thing set up. Lonzo, that might just be because there's less room here, right? There's just less availability. And I will say, as I look around the room, what I am noticing is that this year, unlike the last 2 years, there's not really any podcasters set up. And that's not, I'm a big podcast guy. That's not me pooping on podcasters. I'm not going to do that. I love a good podcast. But I'm looking around and it's all radio stations that are down here, right? Like last year there were a lot of the ACC champion show or whatever. There's a lot of like podcast and YouTube exclusives. I don't see that right now. Everything I see set up around here is radio stations. Now, again, there is another media room that is set up for print media. It is a media work room, right? So it's you don't broadcast in there. You plug your computer in and you type. But down here in the radio pit, I'm looking really, I don't actually, now that I'm looking, I don't see any. I see a couple of like radio specific shows, but I don't really see any podcast. So it may be that this year they were like, smaller venue, less room, we're going to get rid of the podcasting element and it's just going to be credentialed radio stations. But even still, it is a scale back event. And I have given a couple of theories on this. The first is the ACC's got to, actually the one theory is the ACC's got to save money. I have two reasons for that. The first I gave in the last segment. The first I gave is, you're being dramatically outpaced by the SEC and the Big Ten. That's obvious. You are now getting outpaced by the Big 12. The Big 12 is, Big 12 journalists are reporting that the payouts for the Big 12 are going to be bigger than the payouts for the ACC. So if you're the ACC and you want to grow that profit to the absolute maximum available, you want to stash every gold coin you can pick up into a bank so you can split that up amongst the schools. The second thing is, the legal fees for these lawsuits are going to be big, all right? They're going to be big. And they're going to be bigger if Florida State and Clemson find a way to win them. And I don't know that this is the case, and we'll check in with John Blau coming up here in a little bit less than an hour, and we'll see if he's got any information on this. When lawsuits like these are either adjudicated, settled, or a ruling is handed down, very frequently, the damaged party ends up being owed their legal fees from the damager. If Florida State and Clemson find a way to win these lawsuits, and remember, lawsuits, because they both have filed one in their respective counties, Leon County, Florida, home of Tallahassee, Pickens County, South Carolina, home of Clemson, and then the ACC countersued both of those schools in Mecklenburg County, where I am, Charlotte, North Carolina. If FSU and Clemson find a way to win these lawsuits, and they get, you know, if they end up finding a judge that just has got a change of heart and awards them their legal fees as part of the ruling and or settlement, the ACC is going to be down in the hole even further. And I just wonder, great one, how much, if any, those two financial obligations, one that is definite, one that is potential, I wonder if this scaled down event is a response to the financial burdens that are finding their way into the ACC as we enter an era where they might find themselves fighting for their existence like the Pac-2 is in the next year or two.
I don't want to downplay your theory I think it's scaled down because of venue. And since you mentioned the political things going on, it would be a nightmare for you to get in and out of there with all that stuff, especially with heightened security as it should be. But I can't recall if you were actually there. We haven't been on mornings for a year yet, have we?
Correct. Last year at this event, I was in the 9 to noon slot.
So the thing is, you haven't been there during the time when it should be bustling. So I'll be interested to hear your report tomorrow about how it picked up. Now, if it doesn't pick up, then for sure you're right.
And I think I said last segment, and I apologize for cutting you off. I think I said last segment, and I'm going to stick with here, Zoe. I'll have a better idea around noon, right? Like, I'm going to hang out here until Cole Bryson and Diesel come on for Wire to Wire. I'll probably sit in for a segment or two with them at some point since I'll be here covering the whole event. I will have a better impression. By the time Wire to Wire rolls around, I think we'll have a better impression of everything. What I am gauging this off of right now is two things. Number one, the approach to the venue. Last year, bigger venue. They had the big ACC, like, three-dimensional block thing. I don't know how to describe it, but like a big three freestanding ACC statue, whatever, out front. And they had the flags and the banners and all. They had a whole lobby where they had mannequins wearing the uniforms and the helmets of all the teams in the conference. None of that's here. I came in the front of the hotel. None of that's here. So even, I don't know how to phrase it better than this, even the decorations have been scaled down this year, and even when I went up the stairs, and now I have not explored the whole back half of the upstairs where this event is taking place. But where I am in the pit, upstairs around the radio, around the TV set area, it's not the same, man. It's not the same. And it maybe is because they were obligated to go to a smaller venue, and there's just not the room for all that, and that's a possibility. I will have a better idea by 3 o'clock, but I will tell you, as somebody who has been here now for 3 hours and 49 minutes, and the hotel is starting to pick up in terms of business, it ain't that busy. So, there you go. I'm intrigued. I posit the theory that this conference knows that there's a storm ahead. That was really dramatic. I'm sorry that I was so dramatic. You know what? I'm going to roll with it. This conference knows there's a storm ahead, right? They know there's the lawsuits. The lawsuits are problematic. They know that Florida State and Clemson won out. They know if Florida State and Clemson find a way out, then everybody else who wants out, too, is just going to file the same lawsuit, go through the same process, get the same judgment, and the same result. That's North Carolina. That's Miami. There is some belief amongst some in this business that a large chunk of the North Carolina legislature, if North Carolina gets out, will say, if you catch an invite to a new conference, You can only go if you take NC State with you. There is some belief that they will do the same thing for Duke. That means those two schools will be out. And then if you are left in a spot where you have Boston College, Cal, Georgia Tech, Louisville, Pitt, SMU, Stanford, Syracuse, I think Virginia Tech would probably get an invite. And I think you may have Virginia tagging along as a travel partner with them. So the schools I just mentioned, Syracuse, Stanford, SMU, Pitt, Louisville, Georgia Tech, Cal, and Boston College. Lonzo, that's not a conference that's viable, is it?
Oh, absolutely not. I mean, the conference is barely that now. It's very top-heavy. It has been for a long time. For a while, it was only one team top-heavy. But Florida State come along last year, and now you've got them in the mix. And we have to see what Clemson is able to do this year because they haven't been at the top the last 2 years. So if you take those teams out, why am I watching it? I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, it's not unfair. It's if Stanford returns, Stanford had a good couple of years a few years back, right? Like if they can get back. SMU, like a lot of people think SMU is real close to being a good football team again. Louisville with Jeff Brohm has been hit or miss, right? They've had a couple of really good quarterbacks come through there over the years. Maybe they get back. But unless all of those schools do it, and they all do it at the same time, they're going to have a problem. I mean, they already have a problem. And the problem is, not only does he who has the gold make the rules, but on top of that, you got to have money to make money, right? There's the old joke, what's the best way to become a billionaire? Step one, be a millionaire, right? Like it's something we make light of, but the best way to make money is to have money. And if you find yourself in a spot where you are watching the Big 12 pay the schools in that conference dramatically more money than you're able to pay the schools in the ACC, guess what happens? The schools in the Big 12 start pulling away, just like the schools in the SEC and the Big 10 are going to be pulling away from the schools in the Big 12 over the years. That's just the ugly reality of football. So, to circle all the way back around, I kind of asked the question here, this event to me feels scaled back. I'll be able to tell you for sure later in the afternoon. But if I'm right, and if it is it a result of a little bit of panic that the other conferences are going to create a gulf between them and this conference that's going to leave this conference floundering and fighting for existence, especially if they can't find a way to lock up FSU, Clemson, and Miami, the three schools that carry the banner, and then the basketball money of North Carolina, Duke, and NC State. We'll find out. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to run to a break. When we come back here in just a minute from right now, I am going to defend Dabo Swinney because after last Tuesday's open house at Clemson, Dabo, for some reason, drew a lot of fire from the national audience. And despite the fact that when Dabo said what he said, I went, duh, of course, he's still getting beat up on. And I'm going to stand up for him a little bit here, and I'm going to do that when we come back now. Ladies and gentlemen, the Dabo Swinney of reading sports flashes, Lonzo.
Yeah, you should laugh about that. The Atlanta Braves dropped 2 out of 3 games set against St. Louis to start the second half of the season. If I mess up, it means I'm Clemsoning. Game 3 saw rookie Spencer Schwellenbach take the loss, surrendering 7 hits, including 3 home runs in 6 innings, though he did strike out 8. Atlanta's offensive output combined for 9 hits, but the bigger news was the departure of Ozzy Albies with a fractured wrist. Xander Schauffele captured his second major championship of the year after a bogey-free fourth round 6-under-65 to outpace then-leader Billy Horschel. Schauffele ended with a 9-under-275, making him just the 7th golfer ever to win both the PGA Championship and Open Championship in the same year, and the first in the last decade. Hey, check out Wired to Wired this afternoon. They also will be live from ACC Media Days in Charlotte.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.